I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And there a light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our babies cry, and he will answer by and by. Now if you feel a little prayer will turn in, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faces cry, and he will answer by and by. Now will you feel a little prayer will turn in, and you know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faces cry, and he will answer by and by. Now if you feel a little prayer will turn in, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right.
Thank you, one and all.
I wandered so aimless, my thrilled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. And Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Like a blind man I wandered along, worries and fears I claim for my own. Then like a blind man as God gave back his sight, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. The
Our next song features Titus with Then I Met the Master.
Like a bird
when it cries for its lover. Like a child, I was helpless, alone.
My God, my Savior.
has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secure. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, my chains are undone, my sin sets free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, my debt set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God who called me below will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Been a praise.
Can you hear me? This afternoon, well, actually, my wife really enjoys watching the DIY network, the Do-It-Yourself network. Get a lot of good ideas how to fix up your place and do it inexpensively. It works well for those, for the things of this world and the houses and making improvements either to your whole house or to your kitchen or to a bedroom. But it doesn't work well for all things. In fact, there are many people who believe they are good enough to get to heaven doing it themselves, doing it their way. They sincerely believe that going to church, living a decent life, doing good works, that they'll go to heaven. But going to church doesn't make anybody any more of a Christian than going into a garage makes you a car. And trying to earn your way into heaven with good works is like offering a penny to pay off $1 million debt. It just won't do. In the New Testament of the Bible, there is a man called
by Jesus to be an apostle. He was a man who worked faithfully to spread the gospel message. And he did many good works. Listen to how he described himself. He said he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He said he was blameless, without fault, in keeping the law. At one point in his life, he may even have said that he was good enough to get to heaven by his own righteous works. But something happened that changed his way of thinking. And it may surprise many people who are putting their hopes in their good works to get to heaven. He said this about his blameless life. He said he counted all of his own righteousness as rubbish. He placed no confidence in that blameless life, just as he described getting him to heaven. Why? Because his own righteous works weren't good enough to get him there. In fact, elsewhere he said he was chief among sinners. How much more ought we to consider our good works? Let's be honest. The works and deeds we consider good are oftentimes done out of selfish motives. All the time I hear, what can I get out of it? How does this benefit me, doing these good works? Not only that, for many, doing good works is a way of compensation to ease a guilty conscience, to earn the favor of someone or even God. However, the state of mankind makes it impossible. The Bible gives us an accurate description of the state of mankind. After a brief introduction to the to his epistle to the Romans, the Apostle Paul describes those who deny the existence of God in unrighteousness, those who are outside the covenant people of God, and then talks about those who are part of the covenant people of God, noting that many of them are just as bad off as those outside of the covenant, who have given their secular humanist thinking a veneer of religiosity. They say what seems right and speak words that seem to glorify God, but their hearts are far from Him. In chapter 3 of the epistle to the Romans, the apostle accurately summarized the state and condition of mankind. Listen carefully. It's describing you and me, friend. Under the inspiration of God, the apostle draws from several Old Testament passages. He writes, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God, for they have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Keeping the law or doing good works won't save you. It only condemns you. As it says in the following verses, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight, for by the law is knowledge of sin." There's none righteous. All have fallen short of the glory of God. No one can completely and perfectly keep the law or do good works that will merit him eternal life. This is not the opinion of a pessimistic man, but rather the assessment of the triune God, our Creator, in whom is due all honor, glory, and power. In other words, these are the express thoughts of God concerning the state of mankind. In fact, we read elsewhere in God's Word that the thoughts of men and women everywhere are evil from their youth. And everyone is conceived and born in sin. And in Jeremiah 17:9, God tells us what we already know of ourselves deep down. That is, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So to say we are good enough to get to heaven is to say God is lying about you and me. The very best a person can say is that he or she have an uncertain, doubtful hope of getting to heaven. God will not simply overlook sin and our failings in this life. The problems and troubles we see around us, death, disease, discontent, are all a result of sin. Sin taints even our best works. Why? Because it permeates every part of our being, even the good works we do. In fact, God says in Isaiah that even our best righteous acts are a filthy rag, good for nothing in His eyes. The effects of sin are staggering, causing not only pain and suffering in this world, where death is not just physical separation of the soul from the body. Sin has also caused social death, separation among people, destroying relationships of every sort. That's why we have conflicts, why we have wars. Why there's spousal abuse. Why there's divorce. Sin has also caused emotional death, separating man from himself, resulting in anywhere from mental illness to a spirit of discontent and self-destructive activities, such as suicide. Most importantly, sin keeps mankind from a right relationship with God, our Creator. Neither desiring a right relationship with Him, nor having the ability to have a right relationship with Him. This is the other side of the death sentence that all mankind is under. Spiritual death. Separation from being able to stand in the presence of God and walk with Him in righteous fellowship, as Adam and Eve did before their fall into sin and plunging their descendants, which is you and I, into sin and its condemnation and corruption. This is the wages of sin, death in all of its various aspects. Yes, all of mankind stands before God guilty and condemned under the curse of sin, incapable of saving himself from sin's penalty, unable to redeem himself from its hold upon him. He cannot work his way out of it. This death sentence applies not just in this world, but it's a sentence that is eternal in nature. Jesus describes eternal death in terms of a real place, a place of outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place of eternal fire and everlasting punishment, a place of torment. All these describe a real place known as hell or hellfire. It is a place where a person will experience both spiritual and physical torment for eternity. This is the condemnation that all mankind is born into. My friends, let no man deceive you into believing that hell doesn't exist, or that's just a metaphor for your sufferings in this life. To say there is no hell is to say God would never send, or to say God would never send someone to hell, much less forever, is to call Jesus a liar. Hell is for real, because the God who is says it's real. And who will you believe, man or God? So now you can see that mankind is not just good enough, he is in God's view deserving only of hell. Mankind is in a hopeless state and helpless to help himself. No politician, no philosopher, no amount of money, no social reform, no outward religious activities can rescue mankind from his state of condemnation and redeem him from sin's control over him. In other words, we have nothing to offer to justify ourselves before a holy and righteous God. We can do nothing to free ourselves from sin's grip on us. If you stand before this righteous and holy God in your own works, thinking you are good enough to enter into his presence, you'll be greatly mistaken. You'll only stand before him a condemned person, according to his word. In other words, we must come to the realization that our good works are but rubbish unless we deceive ourselves straight to hell. And yet, despite this realization, there is hope. After hearing all of the hopelessness and helplessness that we're in and the condition we're in, we need hope, don't we? We need to hear good news. Wouldn't you agree? And although man stands before a holy God as guilty sinners, deserving only his eternal wrath and eternal torment of hell, he nonetheless, by the grace of God, according to his predetermined will and everlasting love for all those whom he has chosen from before the foundation of the world, sent Jesus Christ, the second person of the triune God, to take on the very nature of man and to become the only mediator between God and sinners for their salvation. By his death on the cross, on the sinner's behalf, Jesus saved all who belong to him from the condemnation of sin, making atonement for their sins, paying their sins penalty for them, and redeeming them from the bondage of sin, purchasing them by his death on the cross and reconciling them to God. Wow. Our hope of heaven isn't whether we're good enough, but it's in the person and work of Jesus Christ. However, it gets even better. Not only did Jesus earn salvation and redemption for his people, he also fulfilled all the requirements of the law of God, nailing them to the cross and becoming our righteousness before God. Jesus obtained for his people once and for all time the forgiveness of sins, salvation, righteousness, and everlasting life. How do we know this? We know that his atoning sacrifice was accepted by God because of his physical resurrection. He rose again from the dead, having justified forever his people. 3 days after Jesus was buried, he conquered death and showed himself to over 500 eyewitnesses. 40 days later, he physically ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, interceding before the Father on behalf of his saved people, even to this day and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Furthermore, by his resurrection, all who belong to him are assured of everlasting life. It can't get better, any better than this, can it? No longer is there doubtful hope, but rather an assured confidence in the living hope that is Jesus Christ. The question you might be asking yourself right now is whether or not you belong to Jesus Christ. How can you know that? The answer is simple. Come to Jesus Christ in repentance of your sins and embrace Him with a believing heart, trusting Him alone and His atoning sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And it will give evidence that you belong to Him. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall not perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." No matter what sin you've committed, believe on Him alone, and you'll be saved and inherit everlasting life, and no one can take that from you. Listen to the wonderful promise of the salvation of God and to what kind of people He saves. We read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. End quote. These weren't church-going people who had it all together. They were bad people. And yet God did for them what they could not do for themselves. By the blood of Jesus, He washed away their sins, removing them as far as the east from the west. No work by man can do that. By grace alone, God pulled them out of the life of sin, setting them apart from the rest of the world, and declared them justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of God, washed them clean from their sin and clothed them in the righteousness of God, in the righteousness of Christ. So we see it as by the work of the Holy Spirit, the sinner like you and me is declared good enough. We read elsewhere in the Bible similar words. For we ourselves were also foolish, disobedient. Notice he says we. He's including himself. You know, the guy that was blameless according to the righteousness of the law. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. End quote. It is through this miraculous work of the Holy Spirit that the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to sinners like you and me, who also gives the sinner faith to believe in a broken heart, a broken and contrite heart that turns away from serving sin to serving the living God. Again, we read in the Bible, quote, And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. How can we think we are good enough if we are dead in our sins and trespasses? Even the faith to believe is a gift from God by the Holy Spirit. So when you, by faith, embrace with a believing heart all the benefits that Jesus Christ merited on your behalf as belonging to not only others but also to you, it will be evident that you belong to God, who loved you from before the foundations of the world with an everlasting love for salvation and everlasting life, so that you might walk before him by faith and thankfulness to him, serving him in this life and in the life to come, to his praise and glory forever. This is our hope and confidence, the good news to all who are being saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. So what is the place of good works? We read in Ephesians 2:10, we just read it. For we are his workmanship, we have been created in Christ for good works. So then, the good works that we are to do flow from the gift of faith given, not to justify us before God, rather they are done from a thankful heart for the blessings obtained by Christ alone for us and enjoyed by all who are in him. Will the problems and troubles of this world go away? Will we no longer suffer physical ailments, disease or sickness? Will wars and conflicts and battles go away? Will we suffer? Will that go away? Will suffering under the wicked hands of others, will that go away? The answer to that question is no. Still those questions is no. Sadly, the effects of the fall of mankind into sin will continue until Christ comes again. We'll struggle with anger, with hatred, contention, fighting, discontent, because our sin nature will continue to wrestle against the Holy Spirit who dwell in you. However, and here's a big however, the Holy Spirit released you from the bondage of sin so that you might be able to overcome your sin nature to live rightly before God and others around you. For all of you who have heard and obeyed the gospel call today, continue to look to Christ for all things, resting in his fatherly hands, crying out to him in prayer for strength and wisdom as you wrestle against sin in your life and endure with godly patience the sin that seeks to consume you all the days of your life. Sin, beloved in Christ, will be around until he comes again, until Christ comes again and purges this world of all the evidence of the destructive and corrupting nature, its corrupting nature, including death, the last enemy. That is our hope in Christ, who is for the believer the living hope and power, according to his word. Your new life begins now. It is a life that will never end. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. What a weight that Christ has taken off of each of us in his work, and what he's accomplished for us. My friends, don't put your trust in yourself, your good works, or your good works for your salvation. Rather, believe in Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him alone for the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and everlasting life, and you will be saved. Jesus himself said that all who come to him will not be rejected. If your son or daughter came to you with a repentant heart by faith, would you reject him or her? How much more our Heavenly Father, He will by no means reject any one of his children who have been born of the Holy Spirit. Today, you are being called to repent of your sins, including the sin of trusting in your goodness and good works. And come to Jesus by faith for salvation of both your body and soul. Will you hear this call and come to Him? I'd like to close with these words of assurance from the Bible, the Epistle to the Romans, written some 2,000 years ago, but remain relevant today, as God's Word never ceases nor fades away. Quote, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we have heard the call, your call to salvation. Let those who have heard this call, let their hearts be pricked and come to you in repentance of their sins and faith in Jesus Christ, resting in Him alone and His work on the cross on their behalf. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. We ask that you would guide us and direct us in all our ways to your glory and honor, through Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. At this time, we'll have the men of praise. Men of praise come back up here, and they'll sing a few songs, and we will close out the session. After they get done with their singing, I have a couple of announcements to make, and stick around. Thank you.
Thank you.
His goodness. Think about His grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
How could I forget His love? How could I forget
favorites. We like to finish most of our programs with this number. It's called Victory in Jesus. That's what we're after, right? The victory.
Victory, oh victory, oh victory in Jesus. I heard Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory, beneath the cleansing blood.
The blind to see, and then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and bought for me the victory. He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him.
Heard the call given today and have come to Jesus Christ, please look for a person in the green shirt. If you'd like to talk more about the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord, what a blessing it's been. Thank you, men of praise. Thank you for the blessing of bringing the songs of joy, the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. You can also talk to, if you're having family troubles, family difficulties, you can also talk to Terry, sitting at the table with Family Life. Thank you, Terry, for joining us. Appreciate the support, and really it's a blessing to have everyone here. And so we'd like to also let you know that we have free books, literatures, and Bibles. So please help yourself to what we have available over there. Matthew in the green shirt there would be happy to help you out and take what you want, as many as you want. We are also Reformation Gospel Ministries. We'd also like to invite you to a community outreach Bible study that's going to begin the first Wednesday of September, September 5th. We'll be holding it at the home building in the study room. And we're going to begin with foundational truths. We'll be looking at Genesis chapters 1 through 11. Looking through all the, not only scripturally, but also the science that supports the biblical truths that are revealed in those chapters. Because after all, Genesis is written as it was given to Moses, as he was moved by God, who is our Creator. And so we have an eyewitness account of all that took place concerning the origin of man, his creation, the creation of the heavens and the earth, the fall of mankind, the flood, and also how it leads to the necessity of having a mediator, that is Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins. And so you're invited to join us. It begins at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. I'll have posters set up around the town and in other communities. And we'll also try to have some announcements made in the on the local radio station. So just to let you know about that coming up. And then also in October, we are tentatively planning another event such as this one, an open-air evangelism meeting, and probably about the middle of the month we'll have that. And so I'll let you, so just be aware of what's going on. You can also go to the ReformationGospelMinistries.org, and you can follow us there, and that will update you and keep you on track of what all we're doing. There's a lot of things that we do, and some of it doesn't get posted. So if you follow us on the website or even on Facebook, you can follow us on Facebook. And so anyway, thank you for coming and listening.